The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Wanna take a ride? Broadcasting from the sprawling outskirts of the Florida Everglades, in the intellectual wilderness of South Florida, the outer regions of humanity that people move to just because it doesn't snow. This is the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, welcome to a Thursday. We're almost at the end of the week, but we're not quite there yet. I hate to say it, but I'm sick. I noticed it. I woke up not last night, the night before, in the middle of the night with like a scratchy throat and a headache. And that's always the first sign that things are not going to go well the next few days. I did get a flu shot this year. Lots of good that did me, because the scratchy throat, the congestion, the lung congestion, the headache, all still there. It's not a good thing. So, and of course it happens at the worst possible time, because, well, today's only Thursday, so we have tomorrow's show. Also tomorrow, I told you I was expecting the delivery of my new computer, which means this weekend will be spent rebuilding, tearing apart and rebuilding my entire studio. But also this weekend is a big weekend at the animal shelter where I volunteer. And usually I volunteer on Sundays, but for the last few weeks, I've been going in on Saturdays too, because with the holidays coming up, there's been all kinds of events and stuff happening. And I've been really successful in getting a lot of these dogs adopted. And it's sort of my decompression mode going in there. I know it sounds like it doesn't make sense, but, you know, just loving on these dogs and helping them find homes is it's a release for me, right? It's how I clear my mind from the crap that goes on here during the week. So this weekend, my usual shift is on Sunday, but on Saturday, some of the volunteers are doing a really cool thing, trying to encourage adoptions over the holidays. And they're all getting together in the big conference room at the shelter on Saturday to have sort of a stocking building gathering, where they're making up stockings for all the dogs in the shelter that are going to be hung on the wall across from the kennels, so that when an adopter comes through, when they adopt the pet, they get the stocking. And I thought, you know what, that would be a nice thing to contribute to and a way to bond with some of the other volunteers, because frankly, I don't have many friends here in Florida. My friends are all out in California. So in addition to getting me out and volunteering and doing good for the community and helping these animals, I'm meeting people. So my game plan was that this weekend I was going to go in Saturday, help with the stockings. I was going to go in Sunday, try to get more dogs adopted. And in between all that, rebuild the studio and get ready. Now, you know, I thought, okay, well, Monday, you know, was an off day. The shelter's closed on Mondays, and I still don't do a show on Mondays regularly anyway. However, I got the call yesterday that Brad and Desi need my help again. You see, they live out in Los Angeles, but they have the apartment they live in is a beautiful complex, and out back, they've got this wonderful common area that is filled with trees and shrubbery and greenery and all kinds of stuff. Well, you may recall a lot of the fires in California are happening because so much of the foliage has dried out because of the drought, and much of it is touching power lines. Well, Brad and Desi's backyard is all overgrown like that. And again, they rent, so it hasn't been there project to deal with. Well, finally, the landlord is going to do a huge, clean out of these trees, of the greenery in their backyard, which is all growing into the power lines back there. So they're a disaster waiting to happen. So, you know, Brad had warned me about this a couple of weeks ago and said, when we, you know, it's going to be so noisy, obviously our studio is not soundproof enough. When they do that, can you please fill in for us again? And I said, sure, no problem. I'll be here anyway. Well, it turns out, of course, they're starting on Monday. And it could take 2 to 3 days. So there goes my game plan of, being able to tie up all the loose ends on Monday because I have a show to produce on Monday. So I don't know. I'm going to play it by ear. I'm taking lots of vitamins, lots of herbs, lots of tea, you know, drinking liquids, getting rest, all that. I may take tomorrow off, depending on how I feel. If I do, there won't be anything live at 3 o'clock. There won't be anything on YouTube, but there will be a show that runs at 5 o'clock Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network and a podcast to run throughout the weekend. And, yeah, so, you know, it's all up in the air. So think healing thoughts. Hope my voice holds out. And, you know, I'll do my best. All right. Today is Thursday. It means Howie Klein comes along. He will be here today. There's lots to talk with Howie about. We missed him the last 2 weeks because of Thanksgiving and an impeachment hearing before then. So we'll get to all that. We'll get to what's news. A lot of stuff happening today, obviously, because, you know, it's another day ending in Y. And Donald Trump is still in the White House for some ungodly reason. Anyway, yesterday I never got around to the funny. I don't know. We just took off and things got out of hand. So I went looking for something topical. I could have played Colbert's monologue from last night. Actually, what's his name? Trevor Noah, who I never got into. I'm sorry. The Daily Show ended to me when Jon Stewart left. But he had a funny bit from last night. But instead, I keep hearing David, my husband, has had a request for the funny for months. Now, in our house, right around dinner time, we usually watch Ari Melber, who comes on MSNBC at 6. He's one of the decent ones on that channel. But at 7 o'clock, Chris Matthews comes on, and it's a mad dash for the remote to either change it over to CNN or to turn it off or to get Chris Matthews off the TV because he's tweety after all. He's just really awful. And he's gotten worse as he's gotten older. He's not like a fine wine. He's not aging well. Anyway, Chris Matthews, MSNBC now is celebrating, I guess, his 20th anniversary. Go figure. And they're running these specials. It's like, oh my God, it's almost embarrassing. So keeping all that in mind, one of our favorite bets from an old friend, John Fugelsang, appears on the CD that they released from the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. Hold on. I got it right here. So I thought we would dig back into the archives. Excuse me. Sorry for the sound of my voice. The John Fugelsang archives for a visit with Chris Matthews.
A little tribute to cable news. Cable news, it should be called the stuff they air between Viagra and Cialis ads. I mean, our news is now a delivery system for erectile dysfunction drugs, my friends. We're the U.S. of ED. Every channel, Fox News, your dick's not hard enough. CNN, your dick's not hard enough. MSNBC, your dick's not hard enough. Like, dude, I'm watching Bill O'Reilly, Wolf Blitzer, and Chris Matthews. I don't want my dick any harder.
And it is right now.
But I want to give you a really quick tribute to my favorite broadcaster, and that is Chris Matthews.
No, no.
I love the man.
No.
Not because he's a great broadcaster, not because he worked with Tip O'Neill, because he's the only man on TV who can do a 5-person panel discussion for 45 minutes and only he gets to talk. Did you see the other night, my friends, after that debate? It was like jazz. He began that thing saying, good evening, let's play hardball. I'm Chris Matthews, let's play hardball. Talk about who the GOP should make their nominee for 2012. And it's a grassroots movement, believe it or not, to rep Dick Cheney. But that's how you say his name, by the way, Cheney, not Cheney. I'm like, Dick Cheney, the guy's had 5 heart attacks. He can't die. Cheney is Chucky. I mean, really, I mean, Dick Cheney, I'm sorry, but if you're a guy who orders guys to torture other guys and you have 5 heart attacks, I call that karma boarding. Ha, fair enough. Let's begin the panel. Andrea Mitchell, let's start with you. Who should the GOP make their nominee for president? In 2012, and I'll tell you why I'm asking, Andrea. Because who have they got? Rick Perry? I love Rick Perry, especially since he had the bolts removed from his neck. And you got Ron Paul. This guy, I think Ron Paul's running for lawless Old West cattle baron, if you ask me. I mean, I'd vote for Ron Paul for mayor of Deadwood, but he put the Aryan back in libertarian, if you know what I'm talking about. Then you got, there's Newt Gingrich. This guy's only running for higher public speaking fees, Andrea Mitchell. Did you see him the other night? It was Rick Perry, Mitt Romney, and Newt Gingrich together. They look like the number 110. Ha! I mean, really. The guy looks like a weevil, Andrea Mitchell. He said he cheated on his wife because he was so patriotic. I'm like, hey, Newt, you victim, show me on the doll where the patriotism made you commit adultery. So really, Andrea Mitchell, who should they make their nominee? But before you can answer, Pat Buchanan, over to you. Now, Pat, I know you love the ladies of the GOP, Pat. I know you love Sarah Palin. I love Sarah Palin, too. To me, she's like a female Ann Coulter. And I also know that you really love Michelle Bachmann, Pat Buchanan.
Oh.
And that's not an offense to our transgender friends. We love transgendered on Hardball. We have a new pen pal system for them. It's called Emails for Shemales. Check it out on the website. But Pat Buchanan, I know you love the ladies. You love Michelle Bachmann. And I think Michelle Bachmann's hilarious. I mean, I think she went to Pizza Hut and ate all the crazy bread. That's why Herman Cain hates her so much. But really, Michelle Bachmann do for the GOP, kind of what Jar Jar Binks did for Star Wars Episode One. She kind of distracts the easily amused from the complete lack of coherent narrative. You know what I mean, Pat? Have you seen Star Wars Episode One, Pat? Not a great film. I saw it the other night on the TBS or the Superstation or the TNT. I don't even know. Pat Buchanan, can you believe we have 500 channels now in this day and age? Remember when we were kids, Pat Buchanan? We only had 13 channels and really only 12 because there was no Channel One. So what about the ladies? But first, over to you, Clarence Page. Now, Clarence Page, let me ask you about Mitt Romney. I know Mitt Romney's the guy, Clarence Page. He's going to get the nomination. Here's my question for you, Clarence Page. Doesn't Mitt Romney kind of seem like one of those guys who hates the gays, can't stand the gays, but every now and then goes on Craigslist, casual encounters, looking for dick? You know what I'm talking about, Clarence? I mean, can't stand the gays. I don't know what you people in the black community call them, the down low. I call them impulse buys. Ha! Get it? Impulse buys if the mood's right. Clarence Page, let's start a rumor right now that Mitt Romney's gay. We'll call him Catcher's Mitt. Ha! I'm just kidding. The man's actually clearly a top. Oh, that's all the time we have for an Hardball. We'll see you next time. I'm Chris Matthews. Don't forget to call Jeannie, Jeannie, Jeannie!
Jeannie, Jeannie, Jeannie! Oh, my goodness. My face hurts from laughing. That love that bit. And that album is available, by the way. It's on the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour comedy album that they released. I think that was back in, like, 2012. It was a while ago. Oh, yeah. All right. I've got news to take care of. And I think, given the condition of my voice, that we should probably go with the recorded version. And the good news is not much has changed since I recorded this. I actually held off until Nancy Pelosi came out at 9 o'clock this morning to give her announcement. So with no further ado, Digital Nicole will take over with What's News.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The House Judiciary Committee held its first impeachment hearing on Wednesday. Three legal experts told the panel that President Trump's alleged effort to pressure Ukraine to investigate political rivals amounted to a clearly impeachable abuse of power. That's Michael Gerhard, a professor at the University of North Carolina, who continued saying, "This is precisely the misconduct that the framers created the Constitution, including impeachment, to protect against." A fourth witness, who was called by Republicans, George Washington University law professor Jonathan Turley, said Democrats were, quote, "lowering impeachment standards to fit a paucity of evidence and an abundance of anger, raising the risk that future presidents could be ousted unfairly." The hearings took a strange turn after Professor Pamela Karlan of Stanford used Barron Trump's name to make a point. Here's the original question from Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee and Professor Karlan's response.
What comparisons, Professor Karlan, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son Baron, he can't make him a baron.
Thank you. The founding father.
There was nothing wrong with that. But it was sometime later during the hearing when one of the Republicans read a tweet from Melania Trump to be entered into the record.
I seek unanimous consent to enter into a record a tweet that the First Lady of the United States just issued within the hour that says, quote, "A minor child deserves privacy and should be kept out of politics. Pamela Karlan, you should be ashamed of your very angry and obviously biased public pandering and using a child to do it," unquote.
Without objection, the document will be entered into the record.
Well, the next time Professor Karlan had the mic, she apologized. Although I think Melania went overboard in the ugliness of her response and that no apology was necessary. But Carlin did get in an important point aimed directly at the would-be monarch.
I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do that. I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong, but I do regret having said that.
Nancy Pelosi took to the microphones Thursday morning to deliver an update on the status of the House of Representatives impeachment inquiry and has now officially said that the House will move on to writing articles of impeachment.
Our democracy is what is at stake. The president leaves us no choice but to act because he is trying to corrupt once again the election for his own benefit. The president has engaged in abuse of power, undermining our national security and jeopardizing the integrity of our elections. His actions are in defiance of the vision of our founders and the oath of office that he takes to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Sadly, but with confidence and humility, with allegiance to our founders, and a heart full of love for America. Today, I am asking our chairman to proceed with articles of impeachment. I commend our committee chairs and our members for their somber approach to actions which I wish the president had not made necessary. In signing the Declaration of Independence, our founders invoked a firm reliance on divine providence. Democrats, too, are prayerful. And we will proceed in a manner worthy of our oath of office to support and defend the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. So help us God. Thank you.
House Democrats have reportedly been told to stay in town this weekend for prep. Donald Trump is back at the White House after abruptly canceling a news conference at the end of the NATO summit in London on Wednesday. The move came after video surfaced, apparently showing Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau, French President Emmanuel Macron, and even British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, and a few others, laughing about Trump's sometimes unexpected comments in news conferences and more. In the video, you can hear Trudeau say, "I just watched his team's jaw drop to the floor." Trump was asked about the video and called Trudeau two-faced.
Do you have a video of Prime Minister Trudeau talking about you last night?
Well, he's two-faced.
Do you think that Germany's too naive?
And honestly, with Trudeau, he's a nice guy. I find him to be a very nice guy. But, you know, the truth is that I called him out on the fact that he's not paying 2%. And I guess he's not very happy about it.
And then he took his toys and went home. No surprise there. Hey, just in time for the holidays, the Trump administration on Wednesday announced plans for a rule tightening work requirements for people who receive food stamps. The move will make it harder for states to keep people in the supplemental nutrition program known as SNAP, potentially cutting benefits to 688,000 recipients. Unbelievable. So, the president who screwed over our allies, the Kurds, by announcing a unilateral withdrawal of U.S. troops from northeastern Syria, proclaiming he was going to end those endless wars, is now weighing the idea of expanding the U.S. military presence in the Middle East with more than 14,000 more troops and dozens of ships. It's all about the oil, apparently. And finally, Florida man is back. George Zimmerman, who in 2013 was somehow acquitted of charges in the fatal shooting of Trayvon Martin, is suing Martin's family and others for $100 million. Martin's mother, Sabrina Fulton, is the lead defendant in Zimmerman's lawsuit, which reportedly accuses the Martin family of engineering false testimony and seeks $100 million in damages. Attorney Benjamin Crump in a statement described the lawsuit as reckless. You think? I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate. All right, so that's the latest news. As you can hear, sorry, my voice is a little off. I'm under the weather. I'm fighting back a winter cold. I know it sounds ridiculous. I'm in Florida, where it currently is currently is, no, it doesn't want to show me, 68 degrees. But this morning, it was 51. And that's pretty fucking cold for South Florida. And it's not the fact that it's getting down to 50 degrees. It's that during the day, it's up in the upper 80s. And then it plunges down 30 degrees at night. It's those extreme temperature changes that it certainly make me sick. I don't want to speak for you. So anyway, I was going to tell you a story here, but I think I should save my voice. I could save the story for another time. And what I can do is share some of the more electrifying moments, perhaps, from yesterday's testimony. You know, I watched TV last night and I saw the pundits all kind of poo-pooing. Like, why did they have professors on? Well, you know what? This country is seriously uneducated. Kids exit high school without understanding about the three branches of government and our system of checks and balances, and they certainly don't understand how impeachment works or why it was written into the Constitution. So I think having a hearing with constitutional law professors was not a bad idea. I just don't know that it needed to be 8 hours long. You know, that's the problem. There's the disconnect. But there was some really good testimony in there. Some of it, some of the witnesses were excellent. And I'll tell you, the first witness, let me see if I can't open, yesterday was the fourth. Okay, so Noah Feldman, who was the first witness to testify. He was on the far left of the table. He's a Harvard law professor. Next to him was Professor Pamela Karen of Stanford. Next to her was Michael Gerhardt of University of North Carolina, and then Jonathan Turley of George Washington University. Jonathan Turley used to appear on Countdown with Keith Olbermann all the time, and he made so much sense. I don't know what happened to him in his old age, but maybe he caught some of the Donald Trump disease. Anyway, I thought it was an important lesson. History lesson, civics lesson for the country. Again, I don't know that it needed to be, 8 hours, but there was some really good stuff, and I'm going to share a little bit of it with you. For instance, let me see. I had it in What's News, but I need to go here again. Professor Carlin, who I thought was brilliant, right, was asked a question by I believe it was Sheila Jackson Lee. And you've all heard about the, she invoked Barron Trump's name and was excoriated for it by the First Lady, who called her angry and all kinds. I mean, seriously, this is how it started. This was the original comment. Here we go.
What comparisons, Professor Carlin, can we make between kings that the framers were afraid of and the president's conduct today?
So kings could do no wrong because the king's word was law. And contrary to what President Trump has said, Article 2 does not give him the power to do anything he wants. And I'll just give you one example that shows you the difference between him and a king, which is the Constitution says there can be no titles of nobility. So while the president can name his son baron, he can't make him a baron.
Right. That was, and people laughed.
Thank you, the founding.
And they appreciated
the
that.
The founding father.
Okay, so it was a statement about the name. So while Donald Trump can name his kid Barron, he can't make him a Barron. He cannot prefer royalty upon someone else. He's not royal. We are not royal. We are not royal. We don't have royalty in this country. That was the point she was making. So fast forward, I don't know, an hour, half hour, an hour, and one of the idiots on the Republican side demands to be recognized to say this.
I seek unanimous consent to enter into a record a tweet that the First Lady of the United States issued within the hour that says, quote, a minor child deserves privacy and should be kept out of politics. Pamela Carlin, you should be ashamed of your
very angry and obviously
biased public pandering and using a child to do it, unquote.
Without objection, the document will be entered into the record.
Ashamed of your angry and biased. I mean, there was nothing angry about that quip she made. She was making a little point using his name to make the point. That's such bullshit. And then the hearing went on. The next time Professor Carlin was asked a question, she answered the question, and then she added something on. She said this.
I want to apologize for what I said earlier about the president's son. It was wrong of me to do
that.
Why? I wish the president would apologize, obviously, for the things that he's done that's wrong, but I do regret having said that.
Okay, so at least she added that zinger in there. I wish the president would apologize for some of the things he said, which were wholly much more egregious than my little offhand comment that was not offensive to anybody or anything. All right, I get that you know, children of public figures are supposed to be off limits. But she didn't say anything about the fact that the kid's creepy and he doesn't say two words and, oh my God, they took him out of hiding. No, those are my words, not hers. She was nothing but respectful. She just mentioned his name. That was Professor Harlan testifying yesterday before the House Judiciary Committee. On to more moments of testimony that had more substance to them. Here's a question for Feldman and Gerhardt.
Professor Feldman, what are the consequences of this unprecedented obstruction of Congress to our democracy?
For the president to refuse to participate in any way in the House's constitutional obligation of supervising him to impeach him breaks the Constitution. It basically says, nobody can oversee me. Nobody can impeach me. First, I'll block witnesses from appearing. Then I'll refuse to participate in any way. And then I'll say, you don't have enough evidence to impeach me. And ultimately, the effect of that is to guarantee that the president is above the law and can't be checked. And since we know the framers put impeachment in the Constitution to check the president,
yes.
If the president can't be checked, he's no longer subject to the law.
Professor Gerhardt, would you agree that the president's refusal to comply with congressional subpoenas invokes the framers' worst fears and endangers our democracy?
It does, and one way in which to understand that is to put all of his arguments together and then see what the ramifications are. He says he's entitled not to comply with all subpoenas. He says he's not subject to any kind of criminal investigation while he's president of the United States. He's immune to that. He's entitled to keep all information confidential from Congress. Doesn't even have to give a reason. Well, when you put all those things together, he's blocked off every way in which to hold himself accountable except for elections. And the critical thing to understand here is that is precisely what he was trying to undermine in the Ukraine situation.
Exactly. It's the old rubber glue trick. I'm rubber, you're glue. Everything I say bounces off me and sticks to you. He's accusing others of doing exactly what he's guilty of doing. Opposite world. It's insane. And with that, it's time for Howie Klein.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acidic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hello, Nicole.
How was your Thanksgiving?
That was a mistake.
Oh, Thanksgiving was a mistake?
No, you asking me
is
a mistake.
Sorry about that. We can just move on.
I spend Thanksgiving every year for like 20 or 30 years with these good friends of mine.
Yeah.
And my friend was taken to the hospital on Wednesday. Now he's out and better.
Okay.
But it was like a sort of a shitty Thanksgiving.
Oh, no. Ugh, best laid plans, huh? That sucks.
Well, yeah. More than best laid plans, best friend.
Yeah. Oh, that makes it even worse. But he's okay?
He's okay, yes.
Good. All right.
I mean, relatively okay.
This is what happens when we get older. It just sucks. I've been lamenting. You know, I turned 60 last month.
60? 60. 60. That's like a child.
It's all relative, right? It's all relative. It's like, how did I turn around and become 60? I just don't understand it. And now I'm battling some kind of winter.
From Holland, where I used to live, wrote to me the other day telling me how what a disaster the American political system is because all of our contenders for president are over 70.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I wrote him back and said, you know, we're very healthy here compared to Holland. And 70 is like the new 50.
And that means I'm the new 40. All right, I can deal with that. As long as I can get past this. Now I'm coming down with a winter. I'm calling it a cold because I got a flu shot, so I can't be the flu. Of course not.
Can't be? Is that guaranteed?
Right. You know, I'm saying it facetiously. I'm fighting the flu right now, which really sucks. So anyway, we're working my way through it. So did you spend any of the 8 hours yesterday glued to the TV to get a history lesson from law professors?
So that woman, Pamela Carlin, was so amazingly brilliant.
She was really great.
I mean, I don't watch those things on TV. I have the TV on in the next room, and I'm in my office, like, you know, blogging. But when I heard her speaking, I ran into the room to see who she was. I said, wow, is she smart?
She was great.
And I mean, and then I went back to my desk and I wrote, this is a little complicated, but so the governor of Georgia is this guy named Brian Kemp, a random Republican imbecile who was elected with the help of Trump.
Right.
And one of the two senators from Georgia, Johnny Isaacson, is retiring. So Kemp gets to pick his replacement, and this guy will be the replacement until the special election. And the one who he picks runs as an incumbent with all the advantages of being an incumbent. Mm-hmm. And Trump demanded that he pick this guy who's the head of the judiciary committee,
the ranking member from yesterday's hearing, the one that pissed off Professor Carlin so badly.
Right. So that's the point I'm getting to.
Okay.
So,
gotcha.
Collins is an idiot. He's from North Georgia, where, you know, his district is R plus 20 or something. Mm. It's a terrible situation. So Kemp didn't, even though Trump demanded that this guy be appointed senator, this guy, you know, Kemp decided not to appoint him senator. Mm-hmm. He instead decided to appoint one of his biggest donors senator. So she's going to be the senator. Trump is furious. Collins is furious. Gates is furious. Many Republicans are furious. However, I ran back to my computer and I wrote, it's a good thing Kemp didn't appoint Collins to the Senate seat. Carlin just cut his balls off.
She did. She really did.
She made me proud.
I just played that clip because it was so good. But you know what? I'll play it again. Again, this is Pamela Carlin just looking at Collins and basically saying, you went after the wrong person here.
My review of the evidentiary record, and here, Mr. Collins, I would like to say to you, sir, that I read transcripts of every one of the witnesses who appeared in the live hearing because I would not speak about these things without reviewing the facts. So I'm insulted by the suggestion that as a law professor, I don't care about those facts. But everything I read on those occasions tells me that when President Trump invited, indeed demanded foreign involvement in our upcoming election, he struck at the very heart of what makes this a republic to which we pledge allegiance. That demand, as Professor Feldman just explained, constituted an abuse of power. Indeed, as I want to explain in my testimony, drawing a foreign government into our elections is an especially serious abuse of power because it undermines democracy itself.
She was so good. So
that was the point when I ran uh-huh. into that room to see who she was because I was like floored by what she was saying, and I had no idea who she was. And you know, she's a professor, a very, very learned professor from Stanford.
That's right.
But the part that was really funny was watching Collins' body language. do you recall that? I mean, he was squirming around in his seat like he was ready to jump up and like punch her in the face. And he didn't know if he should interrupt her. You could see he was like, the words were in his mouth and he wanted to interrupt her,
but he knew he wasn't supposed to, so he didn't. Then he started scribbling notes to himself.
Oh my God.
I thought it was so funny.
It was excellent. It was excellent. Although, you know, I had my usual frustration listening to those damn Republicans all reciting from the same page of talking points. It's all bullshit. They have no defense. Donald Trump did this, and yet it's this solid wall of backing up a liar, a cheater, a fraud, a con man, you name it. He's all of those things.
The whole party, and that's what Trump wanted it to be. It's not, in his mind, he's not, and what he wants to do is to make it so it's not him who's on trial. It's the Republican Party that's on trial. That's what they're doing. They're going along with him. I don't think any of them are going to break away from that. And it is pathetic. I mean, I was just, you know, one member of Congress from Riverside County in the L.A. metro area, he's the last, like, super conservative left in this area. His name is Ken Calvert.
Okay.
So Ken Calvert years ago was caught with a, you know, smoking crack with a prostitute in his car. And when the police tried to arrest him, he ran away. Like, the police were literally chasing him down the street with they were in a park, and his pants were around his ankles. And I got my hands on the arrest record and published it. And his response to me publishing the arrest record, so I photocopied the arrest record and published it on my blog. And his reaction was to block me from being able to follow him on social media.
Oh, my God.
And I didn't know that until today.
Wow.
Because if you're blocked, how do you know?
You don't know.
Yeah, how do you know you're
blocked? You don't
know
unless you try to go, if it's on Twitter, you try to, you know, read their tweets and you can't, or you try to respond and you can't. That's how you know you're blocked.
Right. So, but I never bothered. I figured the idiot's not on Twitter. So, so you know, all these years have gone by, many, many years, and I haven't thought about it. But then today, someone else reprinted a tweet of his, and then I thought, oh, I got to find that. So I went to find it, and that's when I realized I was blocked. I couldn't find that tweet, and then it dawned on me, yes, the jerk blocked me.
Yep.
So, and that's what it is. All he could do was recite Republican talking points. That's it. And they're false. I mean, obviously, patently false. And you know, one of the big things they're trying to say is that it's the do-nothing Democrats in Congress. You know, and then he lists bills that they he lists things that they should be doing, like passing, you know, a bill to lower the cost of pharmaceuticals.
Mm-hmm.
And anyone looking at that would say, yeah, those damn Democrats, they should. Well, the fact of the matter is those damn Democrats did.
Yeah.
And several Republicans voted for it. But why is it not passed? Because Mitch McConnell won't allow a debate in the Senate about it.
Yeah, those do-nothing Democrats have passed over 400 bills that Mitch McConnell is sitting on. So the Democrats have been working. They've been passing legislation.
That's their big point.
Right, and Mitch McConnell refuses to bring it up. So this, you know, do-nothing Democrats is just another line of bullshit.
Exactly.
Right.
So anyway, that's Ken Calvert. Luckily, we have a great candidate running against him, a history professor named Liam O'Mara.
Uh-huh.
Totally great.
Hey, before we get on to other stuff, there's so many things I want to ask you about today, Howie. So since we last spoke, the California's 25th district race is heating up. That's where Katie Hill resigned, unfortunately. She shouldn't have. On the right, there's a whole bunch of candidates, including George Papadopoulos. But on the left, Cenk Uygur.
He's kind of a joke candidate.
Yeah, right.
But he will get some votes because
he's
running on this thing. I went to jail to protect Trump.
Oh, God.
So, you know, there'll be some Trumpists who vote for him.
But on the left, Cenk Uygur jumped into the race. What are your thoughts on Cenk running?
Very positive. And we can talk about that. I mean, Blue America hasn't endorsed him. I don't think that's going to happen. But you know, to me, the most important thing that goes above and beyond any other factor is this: how are they going to be if they're in Congress?
Right.
So no matter what things you may have in your mind that is anti-Cenk, think about him in Congress and what that would mean.
Yeah.
I am certain that he would be pushing the squad to go further left.
Oh, yeah.
I am certain he would be the best member of Congress. So that, to me, is, you know, is why I've been writing about him. You know, as you know, I don't do Blue America alone. So it's not strictly up to me. And we haven't had our meeting about it. We're going to, and we'll be discussing it. But, you know, the person who is running, with the backing of the Democratic Party, both the DCCC and the whole Democratic establishment, Feinstein, Newsom, all the corporate whores, she could very well get elected. She'll immediately join the New Dems.
Who is
and
this?
And you'll never hear from her again. There'll never be one word that she will be nothing. All she is going to be is a complete, utter waste of a seat and waste of air, because there's air in Congress and she's going to be breathing it. Totally waste.
And what's her name?
That's what the Democrats want. They want lots and lots of wastes.
Right.
Why not have a Congress with like 20 members? That it might as well.
Right.
She's just a nothing.
What is her name?
Nothing. And she's being endorsed by everyone under the sun, including, by the way, people who I respect and love.
What's her name?
Her name is Christy Smith. She is unaccomplished, unknown state assemblywoman who looks very, very much like Katie Hill. Katie Hill handpicked her. And like I said, just absolute zero. What she is, a zero.
Wow.
I guarantee you she'll have an F, just like Katie did from Progressive Punch. They will give her an F after a very short time. She doesn't back anything. She's not for Medicare for All. She's not for the Green New Deal. She's not for anything. She's just a nothing. She's a big blank nothing. Jenk, for whatever anyone feels about Jenk, he would be the best member of Congress. Nobody would be better. Santa Clarita, the Antelope Valley, Simi Valley would then have the best member of Congress.
I agree. I hope he wins. So I'll endorse him. Not that that matters.
I'm glad, because I thought we would get into an argument about this.
No, I like him.
No reason in particular. I just thought you were going to be bringing up some of the other stuff.
I have no problem with Cenk. In fact, Cenk is the only person who ever put me on MSNBC when I was arrested at the Alan West town hall meeting some 6 or 7 years ago. Cenk put me on. That's when he was on MSNBC, and he had me on to talk about it. So no, I like Cenk Uygur. I have no problem with him. So I'm glad to hear you like him too. I think he'd make a great congressman.
And I've been writing about him a lot, and I'm going to be writing about him a lot more. And you will see what happens.
Cool. Well, you have a post going live, Howie Klein, at downwithtyranny.com when we finish at 1 Pacific, 4 Eastern, titled "Bloomberg Can't Win the Democratic Nomination, Nor Should He." And your overall theme here is about purity in politics and how these establishment party elders, the Democratic Party establishment, are so bound and determined to get one of these guys in. Did you by any chance see the video of Joe Biden today in Iowa with a constituent asking a question?
That wasn't the one where he's saying he has a higher IQ, is it?
No, this is one where I'm just going to play it for you. It runs 2 minutes. It will blow your fucking mind. All right, here we go. For those watching on YouTube, of the video, but if you're just listening, the audio will suffice.
I got a question I want you to answer. We all know Trump has been messing around in Ukraine over there, holding their foreign aid for them to come up, saying they're going to investigate you. We don't want to look
at that. This guy doesn't know how to talk into the microphone, but we're getting there. Hold on.
But you, on the other hand...
You, on the other hand, he said.
Sent your son over there.
Sent your son over there. Sent him over to work for a gas company.
In order to get access to the president. You're selling access to the president, just like...
You're selling access to the president, he's saying, just like Trump.
That's not true. And no one has ever said that? No one has heard that?
I see it on the TV.
You see it on the TV. No, I know you do. And by the way, that's why I'm not sedentary. I get up and...
I'm not sedentary?
Let him go. Let him go.
Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on? Let's do push-ups together.
Let's
man.
Do let's push-ups.
Do, let's run.
Let's run.
Do.
Oh,
let's
God.
Number two. No one has said my son has done anything wrong, and I did not on any occasion. And no one has ever said it. Not
I didn't say you were doing anything wrong.
I set up my son to work in an oil company. Isn't that what you said? Get your words straight, Jack.
Ooh.
But I hear on MSNBC.
You don't hear that on MSNBC. You did not hear that at all. What you heard, look, okay, I'm not going to get in an argument with you, man. Well, yeah, you do, but look, fat. Look, here's the deal.
Look, fat.
Here's the deal.
You don't have any more backbone than Trump has.
And he has no retort. He has no comeback.
Any other questions?
So, Joe Biden. This is how he deals with someone. You wanted me to challenge to push-ups? Let's get down. Tells him he's a liar. Did you hear the one? It was last week where he told somebody who was criticizing him, "Go vote for Trump."
Yes.
Yeah. This is how he handles people. He doesn't. He doesn't know how to talk to human beings.
You don't have to convince me. That's for sure. I have nothing but contempt for him. That has gone back, decades and decades and decades. It's not about this election. It's about Joe Biden from the first time I had ever heard of anything about Joe Biden.
Yep. And now Michael Bloomberg, who, by the way, has always been Michael Bloomberg, but have you noticed in his ads, it's Mike Bloomberg. I guess they figure Mike is more relatable to us,
yes.
You know, lowlives who don't have $50 billion hanging around.
Yes, they've been trying to actually change his name to Mike for a long time.
Unbelievable. So are we down to Bernie and Elizabeth and status quo Joe and Mayo Pete and Michael buy his way in Bloomberg?
I guess Steyer isn't getting much traction, but he's spent over 35. I can't remember how much he spent, actually more than $35 million.
Well, enough to get in the next debate.
Yeah. So, it's hard to say. Probably yes. In the end, there's going to be a progressive lane and a conservative lane, and it's either going to be Bernie or Elizabeth Warren in the progressive lane, and it's going to be either Biden or whoever can buy their way into the conservative lane.
Unbelievable. And this is the way the party establishment wants it? I mean, are they just willing to roll over and give away the election?
Yeah, it's who they are. It's the party establishment. You know, I think I must have said this like 20 times today, although not to you or your audience. I was talking to candidates.
Uh-huh.
My grandfather, who was my mentor in politics, always said to me, the Democratic Party is terrible. There's only one thing worse, the Republican Party.
Right. I hear you. And this is where we're stuck. And as much as I've said over the years, yes, we need a third party. There's never a good time. Right now is not the time for a Green Party or a Working Families Party. There's another party on the left, a Democratic Socialists of America, to pop up because it would split the vote and make a clear sail in for Trump for another term. But it seems that's always the case.
Yep. Yeah. Does seem that way, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is, part of my decision several years ago to no lesser of two evils voting.
Right.
There's not good voting who I want to see as president, I don't vote for them.
And yet here we are. So what'd you think of Kamala Harris jumping out? It was time?
Yeah, it was time. She did the right thing. I had been urging her in my posts that she should drop out for a long time right now. And she was right. I mean, people are saying, it's amazing the way it's being interpreted. They said she was the front runner at
that
time.
Yeah, when?
I don't remember.
She was never the front runner. I know, David and I heard that too. It's like, in what world was she the front runner?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
Yet all the media has repeated it over and over again. It's part of the narrative that they developed. Didn't make sense to me. And, you know, and now people are saying how great she was. And, you know, she wasn't my first choice, but she was really great and really important for the sake of this or that or the other thing. But she didn't stand for anything. She doesn't stand for anything. And I never liked her. I never voted for her when she ran for attorney general of my state, let alone for U.S. senator. And I hope that someone runs against her when her term is up in 2022, because she isn't any good. I mean, you know, aren't we entitled to have good?
We are. We should. Unfortunately, I blame it on the media, number one. The big money people like Michael Bloomberg, who think that they can buy their way in. Look, Michael Bloomberg may well wind up as one of the last candidates standing, only because his pockets are so deep, and it sucks. This is everything that Bernie Sanders has been railing about against for as long as I've known him, and that's well over a decade. He's been talking about, you know, the coming oligarchy. Well, that's what Michael Bloomberg stands for.
Yes, it is what he stands for, but I don't see him going all the way.
No,
I mean, I was looking intensely at this brand new UC Berkeley poll that came out today, a very, very good one, very respected. And it shows that I think 40% of Democratic primary voters hate him. They hate him.
Good. They should.
So, yeah, well, sure. So is he going to get the nomination? I don't think so.
I hope not. Hey, Howie, for the last couple of minutes, I want to bring you back to another world.
We didn't talk about purity, but that's a narrative I want to develop over the whole year.
Okay.
So we'll have plenty of other time to talk about
it. Okay, so we'll save it for next time. Because for those who don't know, Howie and I know each other from a previous life. Howie was the president of Reprise Records, which is a division of Warner Brothers Records. He was also with Sire before that. So he comes out from a big background in the music industry. I come from the music industry from the radio part of it, and I did music radio in Los Angeles during the years when Howie was president of Reprise Records, and that's how we know each other. So, Howie, the news broke the other day that Joe Smith passed away. And I don't know if you have any background with Joe Smith, but I told
I
my...
I do.
Please tell us, because he was an incredible man.
So, I didn't know Joe well.
Uh-huh.
And when I had my own label, I had a little independent label in San Francisco called 415 Records.
Right.
And we had a hit with a band called Romeo Void.
Oh, sure. You know, kind of a Girl in Trouble
hit.
Is a temporary thing.
All the
thing.
Major labels immediately started courting us, asking us to, offering to buy the label. And I didn't really have any interest in it. I didn't want to do it. But the bands said, hey, you know, this is our chance. Don't screw it up for us. And they were right. You know, we couldn't supply them with the kind of promotional background, the backing that they needed to win. And they were, you know, their contemporaries were starting to get somewhere, like X, for example.
Right.
You know, like Romeo Void used to play with X all the time. They would open for each other and go on tour together. And X would stay in these great hotels and have a nice bus. And Romeo Void would be in a jalopy and having to sleep on people's floors who they met at the gigs.
Uh-huh.
And it was the same with all the bands. So I felt bad. So I said, okay, I'll make a deal with a label. So and I figured of all the labels that were asking us, the best one was Elektra.
Hmm.
So Joe, who I didn't know, asked me to come down to Los Angeles and have a talk. So I said, okay. And I didn't like Los Angeles, so it was a big deal for me to fly from San Francisco, which I loved, to fly to L.A., which I hated.
Uh-huh.
But I did. And so I met Joe. I liked him so much. He was such a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really, really, you know, we just had like a mind meld. And I thought, okay, I'm doing this deal. I don't have to meet anybody else.
Awesome.
I don't have to start any of the labels. I just want to do this deal with Joe. But he said no.
Ooh.
He said, I want you to meet my guys. I want you to meet the senior people at my company.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a reason for doing that. And I'll tell you at the end of the story the reason. But he brought me and introduced me to his head of this and his head of that, all the top senior VPs of his company. The first guy I sat down with, I don't remember if he was the head of marketing or the head of promotion. He was one of the top guys who was going to, my life was going to be in his hands and my band's lives were going to be in his hands.
Right.
And he didn't know how to talk to me. He didn't know how to have a conversation. Hey. So what he did is took out a bunch of coke and made signs and rolled up a $20 bill and offered me some coke.
Oh, my God.
And right at that moment, I decided I don't want to do this deal.
Right.
And then, you know, I don't want to say all of his guys were that bad, but they were not like him.
Wow.
It was a very weak crew of senior management, and I was not impressed. What I found out later was that Joe was, unbeknownst to me and unbeknownst to the public in general, was about to take a job as an NBA commissioner.
Oh, my.
So he was leaving Elektra, and what he didn't want to do was to put me in the hands of a bunch of clowns. So he realized that they were a bunch of clowns.
Wow.
And he wanted me to make the choice without knowing, you know, without knowing that he was going. He wanted me to meet these people, judge them on my own, and see if I wanted to go into business, not with him, but with them.
Wow.
And I thought that was like really, really great of him, because literally I would have taken out a pen and signed on the dotted line right then and there when I was in his office. And it wasn't until he, like a real gentleman, introduced me to his people that I decided
so
not to make the deal, which I didn't do.
What a great story.
I wound up making a deal with them, even a worse bunch,
It
turned out, which was CBS, now called Sony.
Oh, yeah.
But in those days, CBS Records. And again, it was the same thing. The president of the label, this guy Al Teller, great guy, absolutely wonderful, and I made the deal with him. He wasn't stupid enough to introduce me to his top guys, and I didn't want to push it. And his top guys were as horrible as the Elektra top guys.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Anyway, later on, I met Joe's son, and we became friends as well.
Oh really?
He worked at Warner Brothers. Real good guy.
Right. Well, let me tell you, we're running over. I'm gonna have to edit this for Progressive Voices, but it's worth it anyway. Here's my Joe Smith story. I only met him once, but I had heard about him before I moved out to LA. My father told me, at some point, you want to look up this guy Joe Smith. He and I went to school together. I think he's now president of Capitol Records. So sure enough, I filed it away in my memory banks and went about my business. And from 1990 to 94, before you and I ever met, Howie, I was the producer of the Mark and Brian show on KLOS. While I was there, we hit number one. We owned the airwaves in the morning in LA. And they did a goofy morning show. And they had this idea. One day they were sort of obsessed with Elvis Presley. And we were on La Cienega Boulevard, like in Culver City, and right at La Cienega and I think Venice, there was a Bob's Big Boy restaurant, and it had a statue out in front. In some parts of the country, they're called Shoney's Big Boy, but they're all over. Bob's Big Boy, you can Google it and you'll see. And they decided that the Bob's Big Boy statue looked kind of like Elvis. So they had this great idea to steal the Bob's Big Boy statue and turn it into the Elvis Bob, which we did. And it wound up doing all kinds of events with us. It went skydiving. It jumped over the fountains at Caesar's Palace with Evel Knievel looking on. I mean, we did ridiculous things with it. Well, one day they decided that Elvis Presley always wanted to be on Capitol Records. And they got this idea that we should put the Elvis Bob on the top of the Capitol Records building. So I got on the phone. I called Joe Smith. I introduce myself. I'm Mark and Brian's producer, but I'm also Alan Sandler's daughter. And it was, oh my God, come on in, let's talk. So I went in, I met with him. He asked me a million questions about my dad. And then I explained to him the idea to put the Elvis Bob on top of the Capitol Records building. And I'm making a very long story short, but if you're watching on YouTube right now, there's the picture of the Elvis Bob sitting on top of the Capitol Records building. It sat there for about a week, sometime in the early 90s. It was one of those amazing moments. I posted this story on Facebook after the news that Joe Smith had died. And the comments, you know, this was, what, 30 years ago almost. And people remember. This was such a thing. And it's because Joe Smith had a great sense of humor. And it was a pain in the ass to get that thing. We had to go up the elevator. Didn't quite fit in the elevator. So somebody had a thing called a Sawzall, and they were shaving down the base of it. And then we got as high as the elevator goes. And then we had to go up a few flights of steps to get to the actual roof. And we did this all live on the air during morning radio. But Joe Smith made this happen, and it's just one of those moments for me. So I'm glad he was good to you, too.
Yes, he was. And I think he was just one of these guys that everyone liked. I've never heard anyone say anything bad about him.
Yep.
And he pretty much must have worked at every label.
Yes. Right.
And he worked at Warner Brothers. He worked at Elektra. He worked at Capitol. Anyway, those.
He's written some great books. Anyone who's interested in the music business might want to read. I think Hitman was the name of one of his books. Joe Smith. Anyway, rest in peace, Joe. Thanks for sharing your story, Howie, too.
Oh, yeah, good to talk about it. And let's talk about purity next time.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And by next time, hopefully, I'll be feeling better again, too. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com and the Blue America PAC, where you can contribute to a good progressive candidate. Thank you, Howie. I'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Nicole.
Bye-bye. All right, and with that, I know, that was a great story. Anyway, we're out of time. I got to go cut 4 minutes out of the show. So I'll see you, well, maybe tomorrow. If I'm not here tomorrow, if I'm not here at 3 o'clock tomorrow, it's just because I'm taking a sick day. And there will be a show at 5 on Progressive Voices Network. And I'll be back Tuesday, Monday, for Brad and Desi. Oy. All right. With that, I didn't play the music, so I'll just say bye. Have a great one, everyone. See you later.